Blog Talk Radio.
All right, folks, we are back from the weekend. Hope you got all your football in. I know I was pretty frustrated this weekend watching my Texas teams. They didn't fare so well. Dallas Cowboys, you know, we've been without a quarterback for the past three or four games, and we're not doing so well. And Houston Texans, you know, looks like we might have had that one, but in the end, another loss. So two big losses for Texas over the weekend. Kind of a downer. You know, I get frustrated. I get a little anxiety built up because, you know, I hate to lose. It feels like now I'm trying to get my audio cut off here. It feels like you feel the pain. You know, when you're a fan, you feel the pain. And that goes along with politics. And, you know, you support a candidate, you follow a candidate, you read all about him or her, and you support that person. You volunteer, you spend time, you do a lot to help them win. And when they don't, oh, it's just there's so much there's so much pain and anguish. But when you do have some victories, it's pretty sweet. It feels good. My name is Duke Machado, and you're listening to the Duke Machado Show. I come to you weeknights, 30 minutes at a time, to recap my version of news commentary, add a little different perspective maybe than what the standard news gives you, and hopefully give you some insight on some upcoming events and issues. Very excited. We've got a lineup that's coming together really, really nicely. On Thursday nights, we have Dr. David Walalu. He is a U.S. Army veteran who has a specialty in intelligence. He's now a professor of government, teaches government at McLennan Community College here in Waco. Always a pleasure to have him on Thursday nights. And, you know, he's got a lot of background, homeland security and foreign affairs, the Middle East. He's well-versed in all of the intricacies that are going on over there. We're fortunate to have him on. If you missed last Thursday, we talked about all of the the key players in the Middle East. And this coming Thursday, we're talking about some strategies, some maybe some new ideas and possibilities, ways that we need to, ideas that we might need to start considering. So looking forward to that. That's Thursday. And then today, we just locked down my congressman, Bill Flores, Congressional District 17. He is going to be joining us once a month and giving us an update. And so I'm excited to have him on every fourth Monday. So every fourth Monday, we're talking with Bill Flores, Representative Bill Flores, who is also, along with that, he's the chairman of the Republican Study Committee. And this group of Republicans is focused on crafting and creating messaging and legislation that actually does create solutions with conservative principles. This is a group of people who are committed to tackling the tough issues. And so as the chairman, he's got a lot of insight as to some national events that are coming up, and we're going to be very fortunate to have him on once a month to give a recap and to answer questions and to just talk about things that we might need to know about. So looking forward to those shows. First show with congressman is November 30th. So I hope that you're definitely tuned in for that one. Okay, also, just some housekeeping here. Please find my Facebook page, The Duke Machado Show, and like it. And also, you can follow me on Twitter at Duke Machado One, trying to build our followers and really build this show up. Our goal is to just create some rational dialogue and have honest conversations about some of the tough issues. Tonight's show, titled Ben Carson Still Rising, plus Hillary Clinton Benghazi Testimony. I want to get to the Ben Carson deal, but I'm going to save that one for last. I want to get right into Hillary Clinton. I don't know how many of you had the opportunity to watch the testimony. I know I heard it was 11 hours. I haven't seen 11 hours of testimony, that's for sure. All you need to see is 1 hour. 1 hour, and you know what it's going to be. Bob and weave, juke and jive, spin, whatever terminology you prefer. It was sad to see how the Democrats ran cover for her and helped and tried to help her along. They weren't looking for truth. They actually helped to resist finding the truth, and it was just sad to see the lack of moral fortitude, the willingness for them to choose party over truth, to protect their own versus to discover the truth. And here's the truth. This is what we know. Hillary Clinton tried to hide information. She tried to hide it because she knew that it was damaging. She didn't want it to be known that they were asking for help and that it was not being given. So she knew that the responsibility of Benghazi was ultimately going to come back to her. And she lied to all of us. Whoever was associated with her in her big scam, the Benghazi scam, which, because that's how I feel, she thinks that we're just pure idiots. They think, not just her, I'm going to put this in the court of all of the elite Democrats. I'm talking about the leadership, the administration. They all think that they're God's gift to politics. They think they can do anything they want, nothing, there are no consequences. They can say what they want, they can be with whoever they want, they can do things that people don't consider appropriate. There's nothing that's inappropriate for these guys. And what we know is that they truly do believe that the American people are idiots. And when we can't pin this in a way on someone like Hillary Clinton, we really start to get aggravated. I'll speak for myself. I get aggravated watching, knowing that she's trying to smooth talk herself out of something, but in reality, we already know that she's done these things. We already know that she failed to give proper support. And pretty much that's all we're trying to get to. But where do we go from here? They're trying to say that Well, and that Republican, I'll tell you, that Republican, I can't think of his name right now, but the one who talked about creating this committee to go after Hillary Clinton because we needed to attack her our presidential campaign. That guy's just I don't know why he would say something like that. It's definitely an immature statement. Someone who is inexperienced. It's as if it was an inexperienced person, but the problem is it wasn't a rookie. It wasn't a green pea congressman. It was someone who was number two in the House. And so, I don't blame the Democrats. If I were to hear someone say something like that, I'd say, "See, there is a proof. Game over. This deal's done with here. This is a witch hunt." So that was not a smooth move on the part of Republicans. And so I really enjoyed how Trey Gowdy, Congressman Gowdy, set up the testimony. He made sure that while, yes, this portion of the investigation involved Hillary Clinton, the majority of it does not. That they're really trying to find answers so that this doesn't happen again. Problem is, we could never get the information. So these are supposed to be people that are supposedly transparent. If you ever hear Hillary Clinton say anything about transparency, someone needs to yell out Benghazi emails, because that's what you should think whenever you hear the word transparency. And, the intentional attempt to hide, to deceive, to prevent the investigators from learning this information in itself, to me, is unforgivable. You can't now say, "Well, you have them now. I gave them to you now." Well, that's not the point. Point is, we asked for them a long time ago, and you didn't give them to us. Why didn't you give them to us when we asked for them the first time? Because you didn't want to. Because you thought you were slick. Because you thought maybe we wouldn't push hard enough. But that's what the other so-called investigations were. That's why another great point that Gowdy made was that there were other investigations, but those investigations didn't discover anything. They didn't really look for witnesses to talk to. They didn't gather all the information. A lot of things. The emails, for one. The actual emails from the ambassador. Previous investigations never even collected those. So how could they say that the investigation was complete and over? It's just more proof of how stupid they think we are. And it's really sad. It really is. And I'm embarrassed that unfortunately they can do it to us, and they do it to us all the time. And what do? Nothing. We think we're doing something about it by electing Republican conservative representatives, but they're not all on the same page. There's I believe different agendas for different reasons in the Republican Party. I know that there is a several divides. There's not just one fracture. There's several fractures in the Republican Party right now. And as horrible as Hillary Clinton did in this Benghazi testimony, and as many times as she can just, I mean, you can see, you can look at someone and tell when they're lying. It's a God-given talent that we have. observing her mannerisms and facial expressions. We can tell. But I don't know. I don't know that anything's ever going to happen to her. I would love to see an actual, some sort of criminal case brought against her and have her be found guilty of obstructing justice or lying to the American people or who knows what kind of corruption she's involved in with number one Benghazi, with all of her other donations that she takes. You know, she takes donations for their foundation, and then certain things happen and certain businesses in certain foreign countries get contracts. So you can call it what you want, but she plays that game. And I think that's one of the reasons why Donald Trump said so many positive things about her in the past, because he plays that game too. He plays it on the other end, but he plays it nonetheless. To me, they're both bad. Neither one of them. I don't want either one of them in office. So that leads to Ben Carson in the second segment of this show. Ben Carson now, he's raising some flags and creating some buzz in Iowa. Of course, new poll comes out, shows him leading Donald Trump. First time Trump has been number two in the polls. And so immediately there's several articles written about how that poll was a skewed poll and the numbers were not right because they were created by an organization that supported Ben Carson. Well, another poll comes out and it basically says the same thing, and this one's not by that organization. It's I can't think of who it was, but another one comes out and confirms the same thing. So now everyone's saying it's official. Ben Carson is leading in Iowa. Well, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that he's leading. If you've ever seen him in person, visiting with voters, it's easy to see how he wins them over. He's calm. He has a powerful energy, but it's a conservative energy. He comes across as man of few words, but powerful words. He's going to say something that he has thought through. He's going to tell you the truth, even if it's something you don't want to hear. And Ben Carson is resonating. He's not an insider, although he's familiar with politics. He's never been elected to a public office. And you know what? It's okay with me. I would rather have someone in office who loves this country and makes rational decisions and doesn't just pop off and say the first thing that comes to his mind. It's one thing to talk tough. It's another to get your point across without signaling emotion. I do realize that everything Donald Trump says, there is a purpose behind it. He's trying to create messaging for his campaign, and more power to him. You know, there's some things that Donald Trump believes in that I also believe in. But there are certain things that he believes in and encourages and wants to do that that I don't believe in, like his position on immigration. Now, his position and Ben Carson's position on immigration are very opposite. Ben Carson does not want to deport everyone. He doesn't think it's possible to deport everyone, round everyone up. And he doesn't think people are going to self-deport. He has seen the light. He has seen previous candidates go on and run on self-deportation platforms and lose the Hispanic support. Not that he's doing it because he wants to win Hispanic votes. He has come up with his position based on what makes sense, what's logical. He realizes that not every person here, without proper documentation, some people might call them illegal, some call them residents, some call them aliens. Dr. Carson looks at him and says, "Hey, let's just separate the good from the bad. Let's get the bad ones out of here. Let's give the good ones a chance." And it's not that complicated. He's willing to stand on that position and platform. And in spite of like a lot of people in the Republican Party, a lot of candidates like Ted Cruz, Senator Ted Cruz, believe that you have to pander to the far extreme right in order to win the primary. What does the right feel in this case? Well, the right are the ones that want to deport every illegal immigrant, whether they're so-called good ones or, and also especially bad ones. They all need to go. Round them up. I don't care what you got to do, but they don't need to be here. They're taking our jobs. They're costing us money, et cetera, et cetera. They don't pay taxes. You hear many constituents who support this approach, and those constituents support candidates like Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Are there enough of those voters in the Republican primary to elect a hardline immigration candidate? That's the question. I would like to think, and of course, we're all victims of becoming friends with and hanging out with people that are like-minded. I try to expand my circle. I try to talk to people who are outside of my normal realm of communication here. When I talk to conservatives, it seems like there is enough of us who understand that we cannot win with a candidate who supports mass deportation or self-deportation. We talk about how important the Hispanic vote is. This is what's so crazy. You'll hear people say, those candidates will say, well, it's not all about immigration. Hispanics care about the economy. Hispanics care about other issues just like other Americans do. Yes, that's true. Hispanics do care about other issues. I'm very focused on the economy. The car business hadn't been so great since Obama's been in office. There's a lot of dealers who've scaled back, holding back, waiting for him to get out of office. So yeah, I'm very in tune with what the economy's doing. Gas prices, yeah, you bet. But I also know plenty of people who are very focused on immigration, and our party has just not taken this bull by the horns and found a way to solve this problem yet. The ones who were closest, in my opinion, are Ben Carson, Marco Rubio. So I think both of those candidates would gain tremendous support from the Hispanic community, especially in the general election. I look at Ben Carson. It's easy to see how his numbers are continuing to rise. I saw him in Waco. I saw him signing books at shaking hands for over an hour and a half straight, over 1,000 people. And I'm telling you, he's loved. He is respected. It's a different kind of, some people get excited to see a candidate because they kind of have like a rock star appeal. And there's a lot of energy. They have lots of people, staffers and media people around them, and there's a lot of energy. But Carson is just not like that. It is a slow and steady surge. I believe that he's taking a toll. The wisdom that he speaks when he speaks, people are listening to the words and understanding that there's a lot of thought. He's a thoughtful person. Now, is it enough? Can you win the Republican nomination by being thoughtful? I don't know. I know that in radio and on television, it's the loud, boisterous, offensive slash potentially insulting comments that draw attention. But do those win votes in the end? I'm not sure. I'm not sure at all. Okay, folks, we're coming to the end of our program Monday night. I've just been venting a little bit about Hillary Clinton and her Benghazi testimony. That, gosh, that's kind of scary to think of her in office, to think of her as a president, knowing already how evasive she is. Oh, gosh, it would be a nightmare. And I'm pretty confident that our Republican candidate is going to dominate in this next election. Well, I feel pretty confident as long as it's someone who has the right plan to get Hispanic support, because I think it's going to play a big role in how that all turns out. All right, folks, every weeknight, 10 p.m. Central Standard Time, you'll find me right here, Blog Talk Radio. Go to my Facebook page when you have some time, The Duke Machado Show. Like that page. Share that page. Get more people to like that page. You're going to like what we've got coming. We've got more interviews. I'm real excited to have Teresa. She is going to be lining up interviews and things like that with elected officials and people in the news. Very excited to have her on board. She's a dynamic individual with a lot of experience in this sort of thing. Grateful to have her on board and on the team. Thank you. And, all the listeners, thank you for listening. Thank you for going back to the archives and giving it a listen and sharing. We do appreciate all the love, all the love. Thank you. My name's Duke Machado, and I'm out of here. Thank you.